Well, hey guys, welcome to church in a very unique way. If you're watching this, it probably means that from around 72 hours of us shooting this, the weather people, non-gender specific term describing anybody that is on the news talking about what may or may not be falling from the sky, somehow nailed that we've got some kind of winter weather that has happened. And so we get to do church different, but we're still going to open up God's Word together today and believing that God is going to meet with us with His Word being open. So if you have a Bible, open up to Philippians chapter 3. We're in a teaching series around the subject of resurgence. It is a rollout of a brand new vision that we are believing that God is leading us into as we get not only into this year and a new building and new facility next door, but looking beyond that into our first years of being in that facility as we continue to seek to be the kind of church that reaches the least, the lost, and the lonely with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We led off this year by talking about putting a preeminent priority on something above everything else that we could put into this year. This year, we are being focused on with over what? Being focused with being with God over the what we'll do or what we'll achieve or what we'll go after in our year. With that, we then stepped into the second week of the new year, talking about this new vision series, which helps us pay attention to the next step of obedience and the long path of walking after the mission of reaching the least, the lost, and the lonely with the gospel. For us, this new vision season, we believe, is going to be marked by an equipping of the believers to discover their calling and live it out together. Simply put, as the church grows, we have one of two options. We can either become a consumption-oriented congregation, or we can become a deploying and sending congregation. And we've laid out three key steps that we believe are essential for, at an individual level, all of us in this church that call Four Points our home, to take in order for us to realize what it looks like to be a royal priesthood, a sending church over a just simply consuming church that consumes but doesn't give. Those three steps are, number one, engagement, moving the inactive to the front line. We have more people than we've ever had in our church. We have more ministry opportunities and more opportunities to develop future ministry than we've ever had in our church. But it's going to take the group of people, and this is the series we're in now, who are inactive but gifted and filled by the Spirit to rise to the front line. So we've got to move the inactive to the front line. Number two, it's about community, moving the isolated into a communal way of living. This is not about just joining a community group or joining a team in our church. It's a new way of living, an Acts way of living that we see laid out for us in the book of Acts. It's now us not just on a journey with God, but on a journey with God and His people. And so we're going to have to relearn how to live. There's a new way to be human, a new way to live out life now that we're followers of Jesus. And the third one, step that we have to take in the path of this vision, we believe, is Spirit-filled courage, moving those who walk in fear to a life of courage where their faith spills over into normal life, into everyday conversations. Now, we're rolling out these three steps in three-week teaching series. This was going to be a third week, and we were going to give a big call to action, but with the inclement weather, we've decided to move that to next week, and I want to instead take some time at the beginning of the year to just encourage you almost as like an early timeout in the new year as we step into this new season together. I am the kind of person that the second I get a hold of vision, a goal, an aim, I, with a lot of energy, excitement, go after that and expect in a short amount of time a significant amount of change. I often start new things, including New Year's, with significant ambition, and I have often found myself around this part of the year becoming discouraged to the fact that my big ambition to start the year has not led to actual visible transformation and change as quickly as I thought it would. Here's what I've learned. You can identify goals, sketch out a plan, and take first steps quicker than you will see transformation in your life. Meaning I can identify where I want to go, how I want to get there, and the first steps that I need to take in moving there, but will not experience the change as quick or progress as quick as I had hoped. And here's why. I believe that true transformation is never quick. True transformation is never quick. It takes time. It's progressive, but it's slow. It's subtle, and often under the surface, there's change and transformation that are happening. Desires are changing. Our thoughts are changing. But we still see actions that at times contradict that. We still don't see the results that often we thought would follow a change in desire or direction of our living. You see, transformation is different than just simple change. Transformation, the Bible calls it a straining forward, because there's going to be setbacks. There may be turnbacks where you give up and walk back in the opposite way of living and do things that you said you were not going to do anymore. There will often be delays that are not within your control, not things that you have caused, but come in the path of obedience in the new direction that your life is living. There will be difficulties, because when we walk with Jesus, we walk in a war against the principalities of this world. You see, full deliverance, freedom, and transformation take longer. And I'm going to give you permission to know something about God. He knows it's going to take longer, and it's okay. So today, I just want to encourage you with what you do when the change isn't coming as quick as you would like, when the sinful desires still are there, when the addictive behaviors rise back up, whenever you have been doing some things that are good, but it's kind of been a mixed bag of results in the new year with the new change, you believe God is leading you to go. What do you do when the change isn't as quick as you would like? Well, a couple things this morning. Number one, burn the ships. Philippians chapter 3, the text that we're looking at this morning, it says this in verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, gives them this encouragement about the gospel, about this process of becoming what Jesus is making us into being. And he says, I don't think I've arrived yet. Now, that first should give us all the opportunity to take a breath. If the Apostle Paul, who has memorized most of the Old Testament, is saying that he's still not obtained this completion, this glorification, this perfect wholeness yet, then I think it's okay for you and I, having followed Jesus for a few years and having a few Bible verses at best down, to give ourselves a little bit of grace that it's okay that we've not arrived fast, that we've not changed everything as quick as we thought we would. So he says, I've not already obtained it, I'm not already perfect, but I press on, forgetting what lies behind. So the idea is this. There's a story about a guy named Cortez. When he and his men landed in what was known as the New World, they stepped into an unknown land with risk and resistance, fear and hardship. The story goes that Cortez gave an order, knowing that what lied ahead would be difficult but worth it, and it may even cost some their lives. He told his men to burn the ships, meaning there's no turnback plan. There's no bailout. There's no going back to the old way of living. It's only into the new world and we live, or into the new world and we die. We're not going back. We're not going to retreat. Now, whether every historical detail about Cortez in that story are true or not, it has become a legend, something that is talked about frequently when it comes to the grit that it takes to commit to a new direction in your life. You see, some progress requires an elimination of all escape routes. In order for you to go forward, the cost is going to be so high that going back has to no longer be a pathway or a door that you can enter and walk through. You see, if you're going to move forward spiritually, there are going to be moments where you have to decide, I'm done half living, half in, half out. I'm not returning to what God has already delivered me from. I'm burning the ships on the old way of living, even if my current way of living is miserable and erratic in results and frustrating and not what I want it to be. This is a statement about refusing to romanticize your past, cutting off the backup plan that keeps you from fully obeying God in the present, and choosing freedom that only comes in a path of dependence on Christ, even when it's uncomfortable. What does the Apostle Paul say in Philippians? Well, his words are, I'm forgetting what lies behind me. I'm forgetting what lies behind me. It's not about where I've been. It's not about how great some parts of that journey were. It's about here and now being in the presence of a God who has promises that he will deliver on, who has freedom that he will bring, who has victory that still may be in my future. But regardless of what comes ahead, I'm refusing in the present to go back to what is behind. I'm forgetting what's in the past, pressing on to what is ahead. It's important at this point in the year that many of you burn the ships of 2025. Burn the ships of the good and the bad that is there, and look into the future, forgetting what lies behind, into what God is doing in the present, even and perhaps especially when it's difficult. The second encouragement I would give you as you're in the beginning of this year and straining and struggling perhaps with change not coming as quick as you would like is number two, I want to encourage you to embrace the pains of progress. Not every pain is bad pain. There is a such thing as good pain. And you can think about it in terms of going back to the gym or beginning a new healthy habit that causes some good irregularity in your body physically, where you begin to feel the pains of what was not good leaving, while what is good entering in, or while what needed to be worked and formed is now being worked and formed and is sore, which is a good thing as what was not in a good shape begins to be taken into a new shape together. The text says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, I do not consider that what I have made my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. And then it says this, straining forward to what lies ahead. No one strains and thinks this is comfortable. Straining is a stretch. You're reaching to your maximum ability beyond what your normal reach would be. Progress often feels like this strain. It's pressure that lets you know you're close to breakthrough. You see, sometimes the pain you're feeling isn't God rejecting you, it's God stretching you, it's God strengthening you. So when you move in a new direction that is God-dependent, God-empowered, and God-led, you've got to be prepared for the fact that there will be a strain of God strengthening you that is uncomfortable that will accompany that journey. When change doesn't come as quick as you want, embrace the pain of progress. Some of what you're feeling is the burial of an old way of living and a new way that is unfamiliar and uncomfortable, bringing about the need for you to press in instead of retreat and run away. The third thing I would encourage you with as you're waiting on change to come is for you to keep your eye on the target. Philippians 3 closes out our text and it says this in verse 14, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My dad is one of the strongest examples of faith I've had in my life. He retired in his late 60s, and my mother and he, in faith and in conviction about their beliefs, stepped away from a church that was going in a direction that they did not believe was a direction that honored the Word, and as a result, stepped out in faith and said, God, we're available, whatever you would have us do. Well, that journey led them in their 70s now to be planting a church in South Greenville. That gathering's grown to 70 or 80 people a week meeting together, and they've been, while our church has been praying about a building next door and working through that, they've been praying about their future home. Several months ago, my dad called elated. They had found land, and they thought that this was going to be a place where they could build a future church and home that would serve the South Greenville area with the gospel, and it was going to be an opportunity for them to take a step from doing portable church in their 70s to having church that wasn't so portable and maybe less physically painful on them. So they were excited. The church began to pray. They began to talk about securing a bank loan for the land. They looked at what it would cost to build, and we're figuring out some of those details. And then I heard through the grapevine that one day it all fell through, just a couple of weeks ago. So I called my dad expecting him to be defeated and discouraged, maybe even throwing his hands up in the air and going, I don't even know why we're doing this or trying to do it anymore. But instead, my dad said, well, son, it just wasn't what God had for us. We're going to keep praying, and we're going to press on. And I almost was annoyed at the genuineness of his statement, at the grit that he had, at how unbothered he was and how bothered I was for him that this was not going to work out. Simply put, in 70-plus years of life, my dad has learned something that I'm still learning. It's how to keep your eyes on the main thing when other things aren't going the way that you thought that they would go. You see, many of us don't see change yet, so we quit instead of press. We don't see change yet, so we drift instead of stay on our aim. We don't see change yet, so we begin to panic with subplans and extras instead of simply praying. What's funny about that statement my dad made to me that day, well, son, we're just going to pray and press on, is that he has said that to me for 20-plus years of my life. When we were in California and things weren't going well, son, we're going to pray and we press on. Whenever we were debating a move and what that would look like, he said to me on the phone several times, well, son, we're going to pray and we're going to press on. He's written it in cards. He's sent it in text messages. He sent it via email. And now his new obsession, reels on social media. He often will write letters and things under insane videos that he sends of, well, we'll keep praying, and we press on. You see, this is the challenge when change isn't coming as quick as we would like. We burn the ships because going back is not the solution. We embrace the pains of progress because change does often come with the accompaniment of pain. And we keep our eyes on the target because the arrival is not the point. It's being with God in every detail and step of the journey. So keep your eyes focused. And here's what I would close with. The remedy. The remedy is, and this has been our theme for this month, keep engaging. Keep engaging. Don't stop doing the things you know you should be doing because your life's still not giving you the results you thought that it would be giving you. Keep showing up. Keep expecting. Keep looking for God to move. As Galatians 6:9 says, do this. Let's not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, the end of January may not be due season. 1 year may not bring you into a season or life that's due season. But we know that when we cede the control of our lives into the hands of God and we make our aim and our focus about being and prioritizing, focusing on being with Him, that in due season, what does the text say? We will reap if, and this is critical at this point in the month, if we do not give up. Summer's harvest often comes from this point, middle of January, the conviction to keep going. The conviction to keep staying. So here's what I would encourage you on a snowy, icy morning. Keep praying right here and right now as if God is hearing every word. Keep listening for the voice and the leadership of God as if He is speaking audibly out into this moment of life and decision. Keep searching the Scriptures for encouragement, wisdom, direction, and correction, as if He is leading you into every verse and word that you're reading. Seek out people to give you what you are to give you what you already have to give what you already have to, while you wait for God to provide what He will give you next. And surround yourself with people who are engaged and committed to following Jesus, and allow them to encourage, challenge, and walk with you on this journey. Because we're not just focused on what we do, we're focused on who we're with and who we're becoming in Christ Jesus. Stay warm. I hope your power stays on, and we cannot wait to be together with you in person or online again soon.